Welcome to the Tag Republic podcast, a weekly chat with Carolina Guzik about all things marketing. Some episodes are short tips that you can implement in your business right away, while others are in-depth conversations with industry leaders. Whether you're a new photographer searching for some knowledge or an established professional with years of experience, Carolina offers fresh and innovative advice that can help you transform your photography business.
This episode is sponsored by The Art of Pinning, a self-paced Pinterest class for wedding and lifestyle photographers. If you are having a hard time driving traffic into your website, or SEO is overwhelming you, or the people that are visiting your website are not the kind of visitors, aka they're not converting into clients, then this class is for you. You can find more information at www.thetalkrepublic.com/Pinterest, or just follow the link in the notes. Now, enjoy this episode. Hello, friend, and welcome to another episode of The Talk Republic. I'm Carolina Guzik, your host, and today I have a treat for you. I was a guest on an amazing podcast called The Tilt and Shift Photography by Bobby Barbarage. She is a delightful human being. Her questions are very she likes to go into like the vulnerable side of, you know, interviews while still being into kind of like photography and marketing and all that. And she had me talking about my feelings, believe it or not, about the things that make me maybe a little bit more vulnerable. So this episode is really interesting. I talk about money. I talk about changing my pricing and going into a different, not really a new market, but you know, like I went up on my pricing. So that implies a little bit of having a different mindset and a different approach on how I see my business. So I really love this interview, and I hope that you guys like it also. And most importantly, that the topics that we cover help you in your own personal growth in your business. I highly recommend that you subscribe to the Tilt and Shift Photography podcast. Her interviews are really, really good. I know you're going to like Bobby. All right. Without any further ado, take a listen to her episode and feel free to slide on my DMs or even tag her on any of the comments. Or maybe if you share this episode with your friends, tag Bobby and tag me. All right, guys. Let's dive deep into today's episode.
Welcome to the Tilt and Shift Photography Podcast, where we take motivational stories far beyond inspiration. We actually analyze and learn to apply insights from photographers and creative stories to improve our own businesses. I'm your host, Bobby Barbarage, and I'm digging deep with entrepreneurs and industry leaders to mine their stories for the skills to level up where, when, and how we come to the decisions that define our art, our business, and our success. So let's tilt your life's framework and shift your perspective. Welcome to the show. Hey, team. Welcome to the Tilt and Shift Photography Business Podcast. Today, we are putting the business in our interview, in our conversation with Carolina Guzik. She is a super awesome wedding and family photographer from Miami. And she is also a photography coach who specializes in helping photographers with marketing. And I know that is a big scary thing for a lot of us, and a lot of us feel like we don't have great skills in that area. But here today, we're going to talk with Carolina not only about who she is and how she became the whiz that she is, but she's going to give us a few tips. So stay tuned. Welcome, Carolina.
Welcome. I'm so sorry.
It's totally okay. Carolina and I had a little misstep on when we were starting, and you're flustered now, and it's totally okay.
I take full responsibility. I confirm you replied with the right time, and clearly it didn't register. Clearly it didn't register in my mind.
Time is just a nebulous concept that maybe doesn't mean anything.
I mean, I guess the time is now.
Here we are. you said you were a little bit nervous.
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm going to apologize because my dog decided to end his nap early. So I have all the windows shut so he doesn't get to see any dog or the mailman, nothing.
Yeah.
So hopefully he doesn't bark.
Okay.
But I do apologize if he does.
No problem. Like I welcome dogs on this podcast because I have two who are very vocal when people have the audacity to even walk past our house.
I'm telling you, it's not allowed. Not allowed in here.
Not allowed. And yet they always get confirmation. You know, they bark and the people keep walking.
I'm telling you, the other day I opened the door and he literally ran behind the mailman. And he's like a big dog that looks intimidating, but he only wants to be pet.
Of course.
So like I had to scream. I'm like, it's okay. He's friendly. I don't know how friendly it looked for him, but you know, it worked out.
Yes. What kind of dog is he?
The breed is Old English Bulldog, not to be confused with an English Bulldog.
Does the old have a little E on the end? Like
yes.
Is it like ye old?
Yes, exactly. And every single time I get asked, I'm like, he's an Old English Bulldog. He looks very young. I'm like, well, he is indeed a puppy. Okay, he doesn't look like my cousin's dog. She has an Old English Bulldog. I'm like, because he's not an English Bulldog, ma'am. I don't know what to tell you.
Sorry that this adjective isn't working out. it's old with like a capital O.
Correct. And then
go ahead.
I said, then I feel like I'm that old lady, like have to, let me get Google out and show you. Like, why do I have to do that? She'd be like, sure, whatever. He's a dog. I don't know what to tell you, ma'am.
Yeah. He's a friendly dog. What is the difference out of curiosity though?
He's bigger size wise, like taller. They don't, like, he doesn't have, his nose is like completely smooth. So he breathes perfectly. He's more agile than a regular Old English Bulldog. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a breeder. Those just the things that I read online.
How did you find him? What's his name, first of all?
His name is Olaf.
Olaf.
Yes. Not another thing that I have to explain. Not like the movie. I have no children. I don't watch kids' movies. I don't know what people are referring to, but I am obsessed with Scandinavian culture.
Okay.
So Olaf was like a very cool Viking name that also sounds very friendly. So that's what it is. But kids love it. Every single time they're like, Olaf, I'm like, sure. I'm not going to argue with you.
I also don't know what movie you're talking about.
I think it's Frozen. I think it's Frozen. But then again, I don't like musicals. So like, I think it's like a character in Frozen. Yeah.
We are out of touch.
Yeah. Like,
I do family sessions and they're talking about this person named Elsa. And Elsa is the name of my godmother.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, she's popular.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. The only character that I know is Olaf. I don't know who Elsa is. I don't know. But I have to tell you that a quick little fact, and people can confirm this on my Instagram stories. He loves Nemo. Like he watches Nemo daily. It's been a lot. It's been a lot.
Interesting. Okay. So if you don't have kids, how did he come across Nemo?
Okay. So I do like Nemo. Like I do like certain,
You're discerning.
Movies. Yes, I do like certain movies. I don't like the singing. Like if there is singing, I'm not gonna watch
it. God, I'm with you. I hate
so
musicals.
I cannot with a musical, but I do love Nemo. And when he was a baby, a friend of mine was like, "Oh my God, maybe it was a lot." I'm like, I don't know. It's a lot. I don't know what to do with these animals. So a friend of mine was like, "I don't know. Maybe play some TV." And I'm like, "That's not gonna happen." And I don't know why that day I'm like, "Let's play Nemo." It seems like a blue movie, a lot of ocean. I don't know.
Okay.
Loved it. I'm like, this is a coincidence. It only happened once. Then I tried other movies and he gets really upset. Like he starts barking. He's like, I don't like this. And as soon as I play Nemo, like he gets super excited. He gets comfortable and he watches the whole movie.
What?
So like, yes, I have it on Instagram stories. Check it out. Under Olaf, you can see. It's been a year of this. It's been a lot.
Oh my God. It must just be like the fish floating by.
I have no idea because apparently dogs can see color. So I don't know. I don't know what it is, but he loves it.
I think they can't see the contrast between certain colors. They can see some colors, but I think, I don't know this for sure, but there are, I think like orange and green appear the same color to them. They can see some colors, but I guess
they're like colorblind.
Well, they, okay, so this podcast has now become about, about misinformation about dogs' ability to see color.
I don't know how we got here, but well, I'm happy.
I love talking about dogs. Yeah, they're my favorite.
I love dogs. I have to say, I mean, I love all dogs, but I love my dog.
Of course.
So, yes. Oh my God. Now he's sitting looking at me. Please don't make eye contact. That means you want something. Go away. Yes. Love you. Yeah, yeah. Go lay down.
Yeah. Yesterday. So we have it's been snowing tons in our house, and Harlan, I have this older fella. He's a big Mastiff Bouvier, and he's very emotional, and he's basically an old man in a dog suit.
Hold on a second, because he's gonna bark. So let me put him to night night.
Oh my God, my dogs are barking too.
That's my dog. Give me 1 second.
All right, we're back. We just had to take a little. We both had to have a little dog silencing.
A dog intermission.
Dog intermission. All right, Carolina. So let's jump in. Do you want to share with us any moments or seasons in your life where you were like, huh, I've got to do this differently?
We jumped right into it.
We jumped right in. Like, I just grabbed your hand. We just jumped into the deep end.
Yes.
There's no easing in.
No. I'm going to be honest, I'm very nervous. And the reason why is because I have done many, many podcasts. I myself am a podcaster. So but I am very pragmatic.
Yes.
I don't like talking about feelings and things like that. So when you mentioned that, we should do an episode, I'm like, shall we? I don't know. So we're here. I'm going to try to give you my best. Okay.
Yes.
So, but I don't know. I don't know where this is going. So.
Oh, we never do. That's what I love about this.
Oh, okay. Well, how about water? My water, I did my yoga this morning.
Got to settle. I'm going to be talking to Bobby.
Yes. I think there has been seasons, right? Like you're like, okay, I have to do this different. When I started my business, halfway through it, I've been doing this for over 10 years. And I feel like right now, I'm in this, like, I need to make a shift. So right now I'm going through like a shift season, if I might
say. We are mid-shift. This is awesome.
Yes, we're like right in the middle of it. Yes.
Oh, beautiful. Tell us about it. What's shifting for you?
I think that I am at a point when I have been very, very lucky to work always with amazing people, beautiful weddings. But like I want a little bit more. I want maybe like a little bit more, not like a challenge, because I like to glide through life. I don't like to struggle. But, if we're going to be pragmatic, if I want to charge more money, I'm going to have access to a different clientele and I want to explore what that looks like. Mm-hmm. I want to see what do I need to change in my own brand to meet those clients, right? Yeah. To be able to say like, well, I charge this for X, Y, and Z, and to feel comfortable in that space. I think that I've been doing a lot of like money mindset, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where I am right now.
Yeah, this is awesome because this is a huge, huge shift for many of us, right? Like whether we're kind of at the starting of our business and we're going from being like kind of a hobbyist enthusiast and then finding like how to do our first set of pricing and then, like kind of mid-career. And now like a decade later, we want to make like a big one, right? One that maybe your 10 year ago self is like, what the F are you doing?
Yeah. But yeah, be like, okay, it's time to like change it up a little bit. It's time to like, I don't think that it's not vanity because it's not like, oh, it's just for vanity, but it is for like, I want to see what that new level looks like. I want to see what entering into that new space is like. Yeah. If others have done it, why can I do it? I think it's mostly like an exercise on my beliefs, my personal beliefs, my money comfort, and allowing myself to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the permission really does come from you. And I think.
Correct.
Yeah. Our society, generally speaking, we grow up with an expectation or a bias that other people have to tell us what to do.
Yes.
And it's like that everywhere. Like that is just like authoritarianism. That's like capitalism. Like we're looking to other people to do the thing for us.
Correct.
And also like even in our own industry, we are constantly comparing ourselves.
Oh, believe me, I'm not here thinking that I'm the Dalai Lama. I asked for permission to get to this thing. And I asked for permission like 3 months ago. It's not like, oh, I decided this on my own. No, yeah. Like which is silly because why do I need permission from others? But I did ask, you know, coaches and I did ask other photographers that I perceive, because again, I think that this industry is a lot like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
We think that it's like something fantastic and it's just like a guy behind a curtain doing the thing, like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So like I did, you know, like I was feeling like this, like, let's say the whole, like half through 2023, I'm like, I want more. I want to charge more. And the reason why was also I starting to see that people that had inquired with me ended up booking people that was charging $2,000-$3,000 more than what I was quoting.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, you know, there is something here that is not clicking.
Yeah.
They like the conversations went fantastic. They love my work. I believe that if they inquire with me, it's because there was an interest, right?
Absolutely.
So if they go with somebody else that is, you know, $3,000 more than I am, what's happening? Where is the disconnect? Yeah. Why I didn't get that booking? Why am I not charging more if apparently people are paying more? Exactly. So there was like a lot of like internal work, understanding that, also being comfortable moving pricing, but also I wanted to find a little bit of reassurance for others, which sometimes could be great, sometimes could be really bad, because we go asking people that sometimes don't have the right to tell us anything, or people that don't have the best interest in us, and then we take that as the gospel and we're like, that person is right, and
totally
probably they're not. Either way, either, you know, positive or negative, you know, but obviously I'll take any compliments anytime, you know, people give me one. So I'm going to believe whatever they say.
I'm going to believe that one.
I'll believe that one. Yeah. The negatives I question. The positives I'm like, absolutely. So,
but also that really demonstrates how ineffective it is to look at other people, because it's all pricing is just people's opinions.
Correct. It's perception, right? Yeah. What people perceive that. And I was really shocked when I was doing this experiment. Like I was asking fellow photographers that were booking those weddings and they're like, I thought you were more expensive than I am. So I'm like, they're perceiving me and my brand as priciest. Right. Okay. Then I had the opportunity to go on to a retreat in Costa Rica and I met people that were not in my market, right? So I felt very comfortable asking them because they have nothing to lose. It's not like we're never going to kind of like do business together. So what I did was like two planners that went to this retreat, I sent them an email and I'm like, I want you to take a look at these three different full wedding galleries. And this is a collection, includes X, Y, Z, and whatever. And I want you to tell me what is the perceived value for this. Mm-hmm. And they all came back with like, seeing your work and what we do in our industry, this would cost this much. And that match was like $3,000 more than what I'm charging.
Boom.
So I'm like, well, now I just need to be comfortable going there, because then it's just my mindset, right? And also understanding that this is not going to happen overnight, and that on the way, I am going to have to work harder to enter that room and to market to that people. But I think that most importantly is a mindset shift. Like I need to be okay where this is going, and I need to be comfortable and I need to be secure. Because I don't think that if I feel secure, I don't think that I'm able to present those pricing or to walk into a room for networking with those planners or something like that. So I'm working on it. We're like midway through it. You know, it's a lot of, you know, work.
Yeah. A lot of like confidence, right?
Yes.
What do you think the bulk of your work is, or like the bulk of your challenge at this point is?
It's me being okay with accepting that I can be in that space.
Yeah. And what do you think is telling you you're not?
It's a lot. It's It's a lot to unpack here. I don't know if I don't know if something's telling me no, but I feel like I've been really comfortable at the level that I am. So it's just like leaving behind those beliefs, right? It's just like, you know, I'm not like, you know, it's not like, oh, I believe it is what it is. I'm just gonna go get it, right? It's always like that, like, but are you sure? But is this really where, you know, like a little bit of doubt, or I don't even know if it's doubt, but like the brain also being like, you know, take it easy, slow down, which sometimes that could be not so great. Sometimes I wish I was more like, I'm going for it. Got nothing to lose. Because at the at the end of the day, I'm overthinking this. There's nothing to lose. If it doesn't work out in 3 months, I just go back to my old pricing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? To be honest, like, we've had a few conversations and I think I kind of like understand your vibe. I listen to your podcast. Her podcast is The Tog Republic, by the way. And I'm surprised that you're having this much of resistance to it.
Yeah, I'm really assertive with certain things in my life and very, not doubtful, but like it takes me a moment to make that decision. And funny enough, I came across this like human design. Have you heard about it? I know nothing. I know nothing about this other than I pay somebody to do my charge. And apparently I'm a manifestator generator. Again, I don't know what this means, but it says that it takes me a hot minute to make important decisions.
Yeah.
And that I just need to be okay with that.
With that process of it taking.
Yes. That I just, that is nothing. Yeah. That is, it's not like I need to change my personality. I don't need to fight the process. Yeah. I just need to be okay with it. So I think that gave me like confirmation. I'm like, okay, well, thank you. Now I'm going to sit here.
Okay. I'm going to push back on this. Do you want me to challenge you a little bit?
You can challenge me. Doesn't mean that you're going to get an answer. I mean, I'm being honest.
Okay. So here's like the practicalities of it. So you've been chewing on this for a bit. You've gotten some confirmation, some feedback from people that you trust. And you're mulling it over. And now you're going into 2024 with your current pricing.
No. Maybe I didn't explain myself correctly. No, I change it.
Oh, it's happening. Change it. Oh, okay. It's on. Okay. Wait on. Okay. So I thought you hadn't done it. Okay.
No, it's done. Okay, so this is the thing about me. It's done. It's over. I'm having discovery calls with this new pricing. It's just me getting fully comfortable with the pricing. Even though I had already booked weddings at this pricing. I think it just takes like a little bit more momentum, you know, like to be like, good, I'm booked an X amount of weddings. I have find myself. I feel comfortable here. I think that's where I am at. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you became it.
Yes.
And now you're like settling into it.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Beautiful. And that was where I was going to encourage you to go, is to be like, okay, you have to, Carolina, why are you dipping your toes in? Like you've got to do this, but you're already doing it.
Yeah. It's on. We'll see. And I give myself an X amount of time. I'm super organized and I need a lot of data. So I'm like, okay, to truly know if this is going to work, I need at least 3 months and an X amount of discovery calls. Yeah. And it's happening. It's going well. The problem is me.
How does it feel when people are like, yeah, let's do it? And like, what is that like for you?
I mean, that's fantastic. It's like high five, reassurance. Just get comfortable. I think it's like brand new shoes, right? Yeah. You put them on, you feel sassy, but it's giving them a little bit of blisters, right? You need to walk on them a little bit to fully be like, I own this. So I think this is what's happening right now, you know. In my new pricing, I have done some bookings. When I do my discovery calls, I am very assertive. Like people, I don't think they're noticing, or they know. I also don't announce like, oh, I changed my pricing. I think that nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like doing that on my business. You know, it is what it is. So I just need a little bit, just a couple of months into this to see how that feels.
Yeah. I love how you're settling in and your logical brain. Mm-hmm. So you did two things very specifically. You did research, you did data, and you came up with like evidence that it was possible. Mm-hmm. You did it. And now you're settling into it. So, but I think what happens for lots of people is they don't necessarily look for evidence to do it. They look for evidence to not do it.
Oh, yes. It's easier to look for that. To find the reason why we shouldn't do something.
Correct.
It's very uncomfortable to have to lean into like, why should I do this? Why do I really need this? I was reading the other day, somebody saying like, I'm really comfortable at charging $3,000. That's where I'm comfortable at. And that's what I want to stay. And fantastic. That's where you are comfortable. But Also, the perception in photography is like, it's art. Why do you want to charge $10,000? That's so greedy. I want to stay always affordable. Affordability is a weird word because it's very gray. What's affordable for you might not be affordable for others at any price point, whether it's $100 or it's $1 million.
Totally.
So I think it's just like, as photographers, for what I have seen in my, with my students or, in my community, is that the lack of evidence, positive evidence of like, I can do this.
Yeah, thinking that you can do it and then finding ways to make it happen.
Yeah, of course. But I think
Yeah.
that is really easy to blame external factors. And I'm not disregarding there is external factors that obviously affect the industry. I don't live in a bubble. But also at the same time, there's a lot of things that we can do to work our business, make it work in a way that is sustainable for us, that is meets our, not only our creative expectations, but our, this is our livelihood. This is not a hobby. I don't do this for funsies. Do I love it? Yes, but I mean, it's not, at the end of the day, this is how I pay my bills and this is how I save my money and how do I get to travel. So I, Carolina Gusick, I do need to see how do I level up and how do I expand into different markets so I can continue to financially achieve my goals.
Yes, I love it. That is the quote of the show. Because especially because it's for a lot of us, it kind of starts out as like a passion project. It starts out from this very like kind of pure space in our brains. And then socially, we are left with this impression that people who are artists are not business people. So we kind of have all these like negative biases towards charging money. And then it kind of stops us from looking at it from a business perspective and deciding how do I want to live my life? And then how do I change my business so that it can support what I want in this life?
Correct, yeah.
Hey, I'm just going to interject in the show for a second because I want to share with you something that has utterly changed my life. And that's what we talk about here on the podcast. So I reached out to AfterShoot a little while ago because their culling and editing software has utterly changed how I do business and how I'm able to move through my day. So what AfterShoot does is they use AI-assisted culling and editing, and it gives me hours and hours back into my life. Now, I did have some hesitation in using culling software because I thought there's no way that they could actually choose the images that I would want to choose. But because they learn from you, your selections, they figure out which images you are most likely to choose. Now, the AI does this because they sift through every single image and they separate out the duplicates, they separate out the blurred photos, and they highlight the best ones, which really, really speeds up culling. And then it learns from you which ones that you would choose from the selections that it has made. I now take less than 15 minutes to go through a session to cull. And before, it would take me up to 3 days to go through a wedding. So that's a little bit mind-blowing, right? And they also edit in the way that I would normally edit. I've made a profile and it uses my style and applies it to those images within moments. And you can also choose from a whole bunch of other renowned photographers. They have their profile set up within the system. So if you have a certain style that you're looking for, you can use that. Or if you're like me, and you have your own look, you want to use that, you can totally upload it into the system and it edits your photos within minutes. So just as an example, normally for every hour of shooting, it takes me about 4 hours behind the computer. My most recent session, it was roughly an hour and it took me 12 minutes to cull and edit. I am so happy with AfterShoot. I am so happy that I took the time to learn the software and that it took the time to learn me. And I cannot say enough good things about AfterShoot. AfterShoot is available for one flat fee. There is unlimited culling and editing. There is absolutely no additional fees after you sign up. So if this is remotely intriguing to you, click the link in the show notes, sign up, play with it for 30 days for free, and let AfterShoot change your life. And now back to the show. So what were some of your reasons, some of the positive reasons that you gave yourself or that you started listening to rather than all the reasons not to? What were the ones that you listened to?
I mean, you know, when you start working with, you know, great planners by luck, right? I had the opportunity to work with, not because they refer me to their clients, but by pure luck, the client booked me first, what have you. And then they were like, oh my God, we love the way you work. We love how responsive you are. We love like how quickly you come back with like, you know, when they ask you for like insurance and all that, like I'm within 24 hours, people are getting all my paperwork. So they're like, you make it really easy for us to work with you. Give me your pricing because I want to refer you. And then they come back and said like, can't refer you to my clients because your pricing is way below what I am presenting. Mm-hmm. That's a wake up call.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, that is like, I mean, it is a great problem to have, but it's also like, what do you mean? I don't want to be the cheapest one also, but I didn't know that being the most affordable option was a problem.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, it kind of is because you're like way below what I am presenting to them. So I was also very grateful that I had that opportunity to have those conversations with mm-hmm. with planners to be like, we love it, we see the quality or whatever, and then unfortunately we can't recommend you because it doesn't match mm-hmm. our brand, it doesn't match the budget the client has it. So mm-hmm. that was one thing that I'm like, well, I better get to work on this. What's happening here? Yeah.
And then was that a surprise for you, or were you kind of, did you have that kind of inkling before that even happened?
No, it was very surprising. Okay. It was very surprising. I tried within my business not to, which is kind of, I don't know if it's silly or not. Like I try not to ask how much things cost. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what other photographers are charging. I had no idea how much flower cost, like oblivious over here about things. Yeah. So mm-hmm. in my mind, I'm like, this price sounds great for me. It's good mm-hmm. for me. But then, you know, it comes to the place when it's like, you might be losing on opportunities because that's just the reality, I mean, of what I found myself at that point, right? Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, let's explore this. Let's see what it is. Is it just one person's opinion? Am I dreaming? It, like, what's going on here? And then again, back to like, do I feel comfortable? Do I feel worthy of entering that market? Do I feel worthy of charging more money? And yeah. I think that's the hardest part, to be honest.
Yeah.
People can learn techniques. People can learn the craft of photography. Yes, I do believe that there's people that are naturally talented, but at the mm-hmm. end of the day, this is something that you can learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so the part that is difficult is like your personal part, like believing that it is your time to do it or what have you. And again, this is not talking about only luxury. We can be speaking to somebody that right now is a hobbyist and is thinking yeah. about charging the first maybe $500 for a session and they feel like that is crazy. Nobody's ever going to pay me $500.
Yeah.
They will. I mean,
absolutely.
The work has to, you know, the work has to match the, what you present as, let me organize my thoughts. We see this phrase all the time, charge your worth, which I hate so much because we have immense worth. As a human being, I have all the worth, me, you, whoever is listening to a podcast, there is no way to measure your mm-hmm. worth, mm-hmm. but your art and your business, I'm going to disagree with you, and it is measurable.
Yeah.
So charge the worth of the offer that you are presenting. Mm-hmm. That's like a better rearrangement, not as poetic, but you know, you know, at the same time, you can be like, oh my God, I'm going to charge $100,000 for a wedding and all I have is nothing. Okay, well, that's a dream. You know, you need to like come back to reality. Where are you at in your business? What are you presenting to your clients? What's the value that you're offering? Not only sentimental, but like, honestly, like how big are your galleries? Are you presenting a good album? Like all those things you can measure. And then you can be like, well, this has a perceived value higher than what I am currently charging. Mm-hmm. Or vice versa. Maybe you're like, I thought that I could charge all this money, and the reality is that the perceived value is not there. So
mm-hmm. yeah. And I think one other question that we fail to ask ourselves, which I believe is the biggest question, is how much money do I want to make?
Yes. I think that people don't start there, which is crazy, because if you go to get a job at a company, mm-hmm. the first thing that you ask is like, how much this job pays? Because totally. It could be lovely, but if it only pays $10,000 a year, I cannot take it because I can't pay my bills like that.
Yeah. And if we don't ask that, we don't know what to work towards. And I think that's where lots of people get caught in that comparison game, is that we think that, like, who's to say that who you're comparing to is even pricing properly for their perceived value, right? Like, we're just looking at someone that we like, and they might be completely out to lunch, either too low or too high or whatever. So that's a stumbling block. But the other thing is that if we ask ourselves, okay, how much do I want to make? Then we can reverse engineer what we're doing so that we can get to that level.
Absolutely.
But if we don't ever look at that level, we're not going to get there. We're going to constantly be dog paddling with everybody else who doesn't know what the hell they're doing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That should start right there. How much do I want to make? And divide that by the amount of days you want to work.
Exactly. Yeah, that is the formula. 100%. Yeah.
That is. And, and then once you have that number, you're like, wow, I really need to do the work, because what I need to charge requires a lot of, like, brand awareness, brand value, X, Y, Z, or could be like, ah, I could make this in 2 days and, you know, relax the rest of the year. I don't know. Whatever your dream is, go live it. Yeah. But know the numbers.
Yes, yes, meld those two, right? That's how that's how a successful artful business comes together. Carolina, I love that. So much insight.
Well, thank you. I didn't know where this was going.
I think we're in a good place. Yeah, you are also like a bit of a marketing guru.
I don't know if guru sounds weird.
Like, it does sound a bit weird, doesn't it? It came to my mind. I'm like, I don't know if I like that.
Guru makes me think of, like, what's the word, like, when you get signed up into,
like, a cult?
Like a cult, yeah.
The cult of Carolina. It has a certain ring.
Horrible, horrible. I'm a not bueno. But I do have a slightly obsession with marketing. A healthy one, I would say. I went to school for advertising and mass communication since I was little. Every single Christmas, we used to have, like, a business with my cousins. Like, we used to make, like, holiday cards and things like that. And I was, it's actually my best friend cousin. And she was the very artistic one. Like, she was really good at drawing and all that. And I was the one going out door to door selling. Like, I was doing the art part too, but, like, she was way better at me. Like, it was no doubt that she was, like, way, like, she was really talented. I was just, like, you know, copying her drawings. But I was the one with, like, the marketing plan. I'm like, okay, we're going to have to do this. This is how we're going to sell it. We're going to take advantage that we're little. So we're going to lean into our little kid situation and guilt adults into buying this.
Did you say that?
Absolutely.
Oh my God, what great self-awareness.
Since I was little, I'm like, I'm going to, they're little. Like, we have to guilt them into, like, buying this for us because, you know, we're like 6 years old selling cards. Like, who's going to make a 6-year-old suffer? Nobody. So my cousin was like, oh my God, no, like she used to, like, hyperventilate. Like, she was extremely introvert. So I'm like, don't worry, I'll sell this. Every year we sold out. When we were like 9 years old, we came up because we're like, okay, we need to do something better. Well, I came up because she was up for the ride. She's like, whatever you say. I'm like, we need to create, like, an actual ornament for the Christmas tree. So we create this, like, a snowman. I wrote a jingle and everything for the snowman. We sold out. I'm telling you, I was so good at this.
And you're like, hey, I'm onto something.
So yeah, so I was like, love it. So I'm really, you know, like, I, when I look at a brand, I do this daily, right? Any brand that I come across to, food, beauty, whatever, I'm like, what is their angle? What are they trying to tell me? What are the feeling they want for me? So, like, I'm always, like, analyzing, and it's almost like subconscious, like, immediately, like, I think about all the steps.
Yeah.
And then I take note into my business for that.
Always learning and absorbing.
Yeah.
What's your angle, Carolina?
My angle for Carolina Gusick Photography? I want people to have a lot of fun and feel beautiful in front of the camera. Like, that's my angle. All of my couples, I would say 98% of them, they're like, we are very shy. We feel very awkward. I'm like, don't worry, I got you. So that's my angle. And I want them to have, I don't want this to feel like an 8-hour photo shoot. So all my copy is about fun. All my reviews are about how they feel so comfortable. The reviews that I choose to, you know, to highlight on my website. I try to, even though not all my photos are like extremely fun, there is a mixture into like, oh, they're having a lot of fun, and a mixture of like they look fantastic. So yes. That's what I want. On Instagram, which is where I have the most fun, I'm constantly talking about, you know, reality TV, things that are fun for my clients. So mm-hmm. it is like a very light approach to yes. to business. It doesn't feel like, oh, she's like, you know, like so, you know, stuffy, things like that. It's like, relax, we're gonna be friends, we're gonna have fun, even though I am not like, I'm gonna be your best friend. No, I'm not that kind of photographer. As a matter of fact, yes, I am still friendly with all my couples, but it's not like, oh, we became best friends. No, that's not what I do. But the consensus is like, it was a lot of fun the day of the wedding. We felt really seen and we enjoyed, you know, they enjoyed reality TV. So it's a lot of banter that we can have on the wedding day.
Well, that's like one of the main concepts of marketing as well, right? Know, like, and trust.
Yes.
So if you're sharing things you like, you're sharing the elements of your brand in a kind of a personalized form, mm-hmm. like reality TV as an example, that is definitely drawing in exactly who wants to have that experience, right?
Absolutely. I find it really interesting that a lot of photographers don't do this. Like I go to Instagram and I see their Instagram stories and it's always very business oriented, just beautiful photos, always posed. I know nothing about them as a person. And I am not one, because, you know, we started this podcast saying like, I am not an emotional person. I don't like to share, you know, vulnerable things with people. I am very guarded in that aspects of my life. But mm-hmm. I once heard like, talk to the, like, I'm about to share anything that I feel comfortable sharing with like somebody sitting on a plane next to me.
Totally.
The reality is that I'm never going to talk to a person sitting next to me on a plane, but let's pretend.
Note to self.
Like I'm completely comfortable talking about reality TV, my dog, and my yoga practice. Those are like the three topics that I know that I'm completely comfortable talking about that.
Yeah.
And majority of my couples are dog lovers. They love reality TV. Mm-hmm. And some of them are into fitness.
Yeah. Look at how smoothly that works, Carolina. It's like you know what you're doing.
I don't know. Seems that way.
I think you do. Well, thank you so much for sharing this. I think our listeners can have a lot of little tidbits to pick up on. And really, honestly, if you want to know about marketing, go check out The Tog Republic. So good. I was a guest with you, when was that, in October?
Yes, a couple episodes ago.
Yeah. Super fun. But yeah, Carolina is awesome. And thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
How was that? How great is Carolina? I just love talking with her, her energy, her practicality. I'm definitely someone who can like get lost in the thoughts and feelings sphere. And Carolina like pulled me back in and was able to give really concrete examples of things that I think we tend to think a lot about, but don't necessarily know how to put into concrete practice. So hearing how Carolina gathered some evidence, but at the end of the day, figured out that she's got to own this, but she has to like step into that with confidence. So huge thank you to her. Check out her podcast. Look at her work. It's Carolina Guzik. She's at the Tog Republic. And I hope that this has given you a little boost in how you think about money, has given you some ideas of how to level up where your pricing is at. And as always, if you have any questions, if you want to talk about anything, feel free to email me or DM me on Instagram. I'm at Tilt and Shift Podcast or at Barbara Rich Photo or at Documentary Family Photo. Three ways. I hope to hear from you soon. Have a beautiful day. You've been listening to the Tilt and Shift Photography Business Podcast. I hope this conversation or these coaching tips have brought you a little tilt, maybe a little shift in your mindset, in how you look at your business, in how you think about your art, and how you show up in your life. Thank you for being here today, and we will talk at our next episode.